Great to have you here with us on this 4th of July weekend, Independence weekend. So thankful for the freedoms that God has given us and allowed us to have. We're thankful for, of course, our military and those who God has blessed us with to defend our freedom and our safety. It's wonderful to be able to come here together with other believers, sing praises like you just did. You sounded great this morning. I enjoy singing, but sometimes I just can stand up here and listen to the church sing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a little bit of a picture of what heaven will be like when we are together with believers forever, and we're there with those from every tribe and nation and language, and we're singing praises to God together. The sound of that will be amazing. Do you sing different parts? You sing maybe a melody or alto, soprano, tenor, bass. Michelle's dream is to be able to sing all the parts all at once. And so maybe in heaven we won't be limited to just one note. We'll be able to sing more than one note. I don't know. But it will be glorious to hear all of the redeemed of God's people together singing praises. And to do that in just a little way this morning, this was wonderful. Last Sunday, we celebrated a very special picnic. We had Barb and Connie were here celebrating their 90th birthdays. I had different people thank me for putting on the picnic, and I said, I did not put on the picnic. I simply announced we were having a picnic, and the church put it together, and so that was just a great blessing. Cindy and Donna and Melissa and the organizing that went on, the guys that set up the quick tent, which I guess the quick set tent, which takes an hour and a half, to put up, the people who carried tables and chairs and grilled burgers and people who brought dishes and put up balloons and then take it all down and clean it up. And it was the church serving together, and it was a great time. It was an epic picnic. I'm so thankful. So when someone said, Jeff, thank you for the picnic, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was someone else. When we come to Genesis chapter 40, the attention is on Joseph. Certainly in chapter 39, which we looked at last week, and then this week, chapter 40, next week, chapter 41, where Joseph interprets dreams. He interprets dreams for different people, and here in this chapter and next week, we'll see him interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And we say this is all about Joseph, but it's not about Joseph. It's about who was with Joseph. In fact, we see that four times in chapter 39. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And so the main character, as we study the life of Joseph, is really not Joseph, but the God who is with him. And the same can be true in your life. As you live for Christ, you will experience God working in you and through you. You will be more of a blessing to others than you can even realize. But ultimately, it won't be you. It will be God who is with you. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. It's not me. It's all him. So let's pray together, and then we'll take up these verses. Lord, thank you. Thank you that we can come together and we can freely worship you. We can sing at the top of our lungs if we want. And we don't worry about anyone coming in and telling us not to. We can sing praises to you, and it's a great privilege to be in our country. I'm so thankful for how you have blessed us in many ways. Lord, we know that the country as a whole, our nation, does not worship you. But Lord, let us not be discouraged by that so much as we put our eyes on you. We remember what Jesus has done for us. And we try to love and share that good news with others. We try to live out the good news into our communities, to our neighbors, to our relatives, our coworkers, our classmates. We try to live for you in a way that, that folks will want to ask and want to know this, the reason for the hope that we have. I pray that we as Christians are not so discouraged by what the news tells us is going on in our society, but instead we have this hope of Christ and eternal life, that you are gracious and full of steadfast love, and we're trusting you. We believe that Jesus died on a cross for our sins and rose again to give us eternal life and freedom and to live a holy life for you. So help us in all of these things. Help us to be good Christians in America and to be good witnesses for you. Encourage us, I pray, through the scriptures this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's not me, it's all him. So we'll look here, verse 1. Sometime after this. Now, so Joseph is now in his late 20s. And as you know, he'd been sold by his brothers. He gets to Potiphar's house. His wife tries to seduce him. He refuses. She lies, and he gets thrown into prison. And so this is where we find Joseph in chapter 40. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense or a sin against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, these two officials in his home. The chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So these are our trusted positions in Pharaoh's home. If you think about it, they're dealing with his food and his drink. These are trusted positions. You don't want someone that might try to slip some cyanide into your biscuits, you know, or poison the grape juice. So these are trusted people, but also they seem to have been officials in the sense of council, and that they had some kind of an official representation also within his home, because what we'll see later how he treats them. He put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the same prison where Joseph was confined. So what we see here is none of this is happening by chance. This is God's directing and leading in Joseph's life. It was not by chance that he winds up at Potiphar's house instead of out in a field somewhere. He could have been just a slave out in the fields, but instead he's someone in Potiphar's house. He rises through the ranks with God is working through him. His character is seen. He's responsible. He's careful. And he's given promotions. God is with him. Then he's thrown in the prison. And who gets put in with him but these two guys, the baker and the cupbearer? Not by chance. This is God's sovereign work. And so this is our first point we'll look at. Number one, God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose. You are not just, someone said, a featherless bipod. You're not a featherless bipod, okay? You are a human being made in God's image with a plan in this world. He has purposes for you. And he has a purpose. We'll see it in Joseph's life. As things happen around him, God has this purpose. So what does that mean? Well, keep reading here. He put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, the same place where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. So these two men, the baker and the cupbearer, were given a servant while they were in prison. So, I mean, they're important guys. They're in trouble for sure, but they're not just cast down in the dungeon somewhere. They're given a servant to take care of them. And Joseph was the one to take care of them. They continued for some time in custody. So this is, think about that. Day after day, Joseph is in prison for doing nothing wrong. He was innocent. He was lied about. He's in prison day after day. The scripture says for some time. But Joseph knew that God had a purpose for him. And so he was faithful. And this is the challenge from these verses right here. is God has a purpose for you, so be faithful wherever you are. If you believe that God is sovereign, that he rules over all things, including your life, then where you are right now is where he wants you to be. And it might be a tough spot. It might be a challenging place. You might wish to be somewhere else. But for right now, where you are is where God has you to be. So be faithful right there where you are. This is what Joseph was known to be. Day after day, even in tough places, like being thrown in prison when you're innocent. Joseph, he believed God was working. God was testing him. God was proving himself faithful to Joseph. He proves himself faithful to those who trust and wait on him, those who are faithful and responsible to do whatever task is set before them. If you know the Lord is with you, then it doesn't matter what you're doing it for him. You're doing it for his glory. In Colossians, Paul writes to the servants, and he says, remember this, your real master is Jesus. You are a servant, you work for someone else, but don't work so that they see you and they're impressed with what you do. Work for the Lord. He's your real master. That's who you're really serving. I think that will help us when we have a difficult boss or when you have a difficult teacher in school and you think, well, they're such a hypocrite. They show favoritism. They're this, they're that. Well, you're not really working for them. You're not really doing your schoolwork for them. You're serving the master who is in heaven, and he has a purpose for you. So be faithful right there. Number two, God will strengthen you to serve. God will strengthen you to serve. One night, verse 5, they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each with its own interpretation. So they are similar, but they are different. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. And the word there is used of a raging sea when Jonah gets thrown overboard. You know, Pastor Matt is preaching through Jonah when he's up here. By the way, pray for Pastor Matt and Sarah. They're in Alaska with a family vacation. And, yep, so they're over there. I guess it's still daylight, like all the time right now. Anyway, so pray for Matt and Sarah. Jonah, he's out in the boat, and the sea is raging, and the sailors are afraid. And that's the word that's used here about the expression on those two prisoners' faces, the cupbearer and the baker. They're like a raging sea, and Joseph realizes they're upset. So he asked them, why are your faces downcast? Joseph notices, and he's concerned about it. Does he have to be? No. He's thrown in prison as an innocent man. But he says, these are the people I'm to work with. These are the people I'm responsible for, and I'm concerned about them. I care about them. What's wrong? He has that kind of concern. He's going beyond the motions of just attending to them. He cares. And they said to him, we have had dreams and there is no one to interpret them. And maybe they're saying there's no one because if they weren't in prison, if they were back in Pharaoh's court, Pharaoh had counselors and magicians and people who interpret dreams or tried to. There's those people. We could have talked to those guys. But here we are in prison. We're stuck here. And Joseph said to them, well, I hope you figure it out. That is not what he said. In verse 8, he said, do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me. See, he knows that God knows all things. He knows that God can interpret the dreams. He is going to be a witness and testimony for the God whom he serves. Isn't he bitter at God? Oh, God, why am I here? I didn't do anything wrong. And you leave me down here, you put me in the dungeon. That's not Joseph. He believes in God. He trusts in God, even in his difficulty, even in his trial. Even when life is not fair, he says to these men, are you okay? No, yeah, these dreams were so upset. God can interpret your dreams. You see the trust, the faith that Joseph has? God was strengthening him. He was with him. He knew that God was blessing him, that he was going to meet his need and strengthen him when he needed it most. The fact that his own dreams, remember Joseph had his own dreams, what were they? He dreamed that one day his brothers would come and bow down to him. Well, that's not happening. He's in the prison. But the fact that his own dreams had not been fulfilled yet did not discourage Joseph from trusting in God, from believing that God could still give the interpretation to these men's dreams. I love it. I love the faith of Joseph, because aren't we tempted to look at God and say, this should not be, please change this, please. And until God does what I'm asking him, is it hard to trust him? Is it hard to praise him when I want him to do something and help someone in my family or change some situation and it just isn't changing? It isn't changing. Is it hard to worship? Here, Joseph, he has God's strength. And what is he doing? He's depending on God and serving others. See, God is strengthening him. And when God strengthens you, you depend on him to serve others. It's not in your power. It's not in your strength. It's in his. This is what 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. If you have a gift from God to serve him, then you do it with the strength that he gives so that he'll get all the glory. We're not going to glorify Joseph here. I mean, we appreciate his faith and his faithfulness, but we see that it is the God behind Joseph who gets all of the praise. And Joseph keeps his trust and his faith in him while he waits for these promises to be fulfilled. And Joseph doesn't say, you know, I am pretty important. I mean, everywhere I go, I get put in charge. So I can probably help you out. That's not Joseph. He says, God can handle this. What was your dream? He's God-focused. He is God-dependent. And he's willing to help others. So third, you'll see, God will work while you wait. God will work while you wait. Verse 9. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph. He said, in my dream, there was a vine before me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, and these are some great words here, some great, like, gardening. If you're a gardener, if you like to plant things, you'll love these. This is gardening. Exciting. No, really. Because, okay, you plant something and you wait and you wait and wait. Like last year with our tomatoes. Oh, we waited and waited and waited and waited. And finally we get these little, you know, tomatoes. And they were good, but then they were gone. And then it was winter. So we said, this year we're going to just gonna cut out the middleman and just go right to the grocery store. Get those tomatoes right there. They're already ripe. Okay. So this goes back to this. You'll like this. It budded. The blossom shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. That would be awesome. You go out there, you pour a little water on there, all of a sudden, a little flower comes out, then some fruit, and then it's ripe. All at once. Only in your dreams, right? Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. I took the grapes and pressed them right into the cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Just bang, 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 bang. There was growth and there was a flower and there was grapes and squeezed them right to Pharaoh. This is wonderful. It was a good dream, but what does it mean? And Joseph said, this is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. There is going to be great mercy shown to you, Mr. Cupbearer. Don't know what you did, how you got in trouble. Maybe some evidence will come out that will show you were innocent. Whatever will be the case, you're going to be restored to your position. Pharaoh's going to have mercy on you. blessings are coming soon. And then Joseph says, only remember me when it is well with you. And please do me the kindness, which is our, it's like, I don't know a lot of Hebrew words, but this is one of my favorites. That's the chesed of God. His chesed, his loving kindness, his faithfulness. Show that kindness to me. God has been showing it to Joseph. Here he's asking for this cupbearer to show it to him. How? Well, mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. And isn't that what the Hebrews will cry out to God as well? The Hebrews who are in slavery and they're calling out to God, please deliver us from Pharaoh. Please deliver us. Bring us out of this house of bondage. And here Joseph is asking that same request. I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also, I've done nothing. They should put me into the pit or into this dungeon. I want you to notice that Joseph does not gossip or implicate his brothers. He doesn't say, yeah, my brothers are real jerks. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't because of them. And then Potiphar's wife, whoo, stay away from that crazy woman. Nothing like that. There is not gossip. There is not this like slander. He doesn't throw them under the bus, as we would say. What does he say? I'm here. I've done nothing wrong. And if you would, please plead my case so that I can be released. But regardless, Joseph will be faithful until then and keep his focus on the Lord. He's saying, if it's possible, could I be set free? As Jesus prayed in the garden, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Or as Paul prayed about his thorn in the flesh being removed, but God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly for my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul believed when he was weak, he was strong. And that's where Joseph is at. He's asking to be delivered, but he will be faithful until that request is answered. We're going to find that same thing in our life. We do not always get our prayer answered right away. Can we wait and lean on the Lord until he does something? Until he changes our situation, or until he changes someone's heart? Can we wait on the Lord? Will we be faithful to serve him while we wait? Will we rejoice in who he is and what he has done while we wait in a trial? Because God is working. While we're waiting for God to answer our prayer and help us, God is working in us, through us. And what does Joseph do? He keeps his hope in God. His hope is not in the cupbearer. I mean, he asks him to take his message, to take his case, but his hope is in God. His hope is trusting in God. Here's the next one. God knows all things. God knows all things, so tell people the truth. This is what happens. The next dream. So the chief baker, are you with me in verse 16? The chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable. So he was concerned about his dream. But when he hears that the cupbearer gets a good interpretation, he's like, okay, all right, well, I'm going to tell you my dream. So he said to Joseph, there were three cake baskets on my head. What did the cupbearer dream about? Vines and grapes, and it went along with his occupation. So also, this baker, his dream goes along with his occupation. He had a dream, there were cake baskets. That was these baked goods, right, would be carried in those baskets. But the birds, oh, I'm sorry, in the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. That's a good plan. Like this morning in our Sunday school class, Janet came through with the donuts. And so that's something you would rejoice in. So the The baker, he says, I had this dream. I had these baked goods, all different kinds. And then the top basket, and I was going to take them to Pharaoh. But there was a problem. The birds were eating it out of the basket on my head. If we went way back into Genesis 15, we would see Abraham is preparing a sacrifice, and God is going to, he's going to ratify the covenant with Abraham. And so Abraham makes this sacrifice, and the birds were coming to try to eat that sacrifice. And Abraham drove them away. It's this little story, little verse in Genesis 15. He would drive the birds away. We don't want the birds to eat this food. Well, here, the baker is not able to keep the birds back. He can't protect the food. The baker can do nothing about it. So verse 18, Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. Three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you or impale you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. So this is harsh, but Joseph tells him the truth. He tells him that God's judgment is coming for this man for his sins, and Joseph is faithful to tell him. And I think that's it's difficult for us when we're sharing about our faith and we're talking with someone and we have to tell them the truth that just like us, they're a sinner. Just like me, they're a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. That's bad news. That God judges those who sin, sinners. He judges sin. There is destruction. There is hell that is prepared. And that's bad news. But it's the truth. Then the good news comes that Jesus took that judgment on himself. He never sinned. He knew no sin, but he came for us and he took our sins and he was judged for us. So that if you trust in him, you won't be judged. You won't have God's wrath upon you because Jesus took that for you. That's the good news. But the bad news is also true, that those who would reject God, reject what Jesus has done, who say, I will do what I will do, I will do what I want, then the payment for their sin will be death, will be the judgment of God. Joseph is an example to us of someone who tells the truth. Even though it's not fun, it's not popular, God knows this will happen, that this judgment is coming against the baker. And he reveals it to Joseph, and Joseph tells it to him. He tells him the truth. He is faithful. God knows all things, and Joseph tells the truth. We must tell the truth. We pray for wisdom. We pray for God's grace to help us and that strength to say the whole gospel and let people know the truth. Well, finally, our fifth point is this. God will not forget you. God will not forget you. On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. It's exactly what God revealed to Joseph would happen, took place. The cupbearer was elevated and the baker was executed, just as Joseph had said. And then when Joseph's dreams, his interpretations were exactly fulfilled in the exact way he said, in the exact time that he said, he was forgotten. Verse 23, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And the Hebrew doubles it, right? He not only did not remember him, he forgot him. You would say, how could you forget? Your life was just spared. You've got your dream job back. And your friend died. Could have been you. How could you forget? Somewhere I read, they said, maybe he chose to forget. So, yeah, I don't really want to even go back there. I don't want to think about that time in the prison. He forgot. One time I forgot Madeline at school. Supposed to pick her up, but I thought Michelle was picking her up. You know how these things happen. And so, little Madeline, I get a phone call from the school principal. And the principal said, would you like me to drop Maddie off at home? I was so embarrassed. I said, no, I'm on my way. It takes a half an hour to get there to school, but I'll be there. And there was Madeline sitting out on the sidewalk with her backpack. Still has not forgiven me about that. She probably would if that was the only time. But these things happen.
Right.
So we forget. We forget important matters and important people. Did the Lord forget Joseph? Not for a moment. Not for a moment did he ever forget Joseph. He was with Joseph. It's going to be 2 more years that Joseph is in the prison. 2 more years. Day after day, he's in the prison. But God is with him. Joseph must have heard of the fate of the 2 prisoners, that it happened exactly as he said. I imagine he smiled every time there was a knock on the prison door. Oh, this is it. He's coming to get me. He's coming to say, hey, the cupbearer, he's been elevated to his position, and he's remembered you, and he's sent the order. But instead, the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. What about you? Are you waiting for God to deliver you from suffering or a trial that you're going through? What if it's 2 more years? We can be tempted to put our hope in people. We can be tempted to say, well, if I could just get the right message to the right person. But maybe not. People may forget us, but God does not forget us. He could rescue you in the blink of an eye. But he has his purposes in letting us wait, letting us face the struggle, letting us depend only on him, and find out what we really need is not less suffering, but a closer relationship with him. There's a chorus Mercy Me sings, I know you're able, and I know you can. Save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. Others may forget you. Your suffering may continue. But God has not forgotten you. He will not forsake you. Will you trust him? Will you wait? Will you serve him even if he allows suffering to last a little longer? God is faithful to be with you as he works in you and through you, so you can say too, along with Joseph, it's not me, it's all him. Would you stand together with me and we'll pray. Father, as we see Joseph in the midst of his suffering, and even as he asks to be delivered, and yet you will allow this trial to continue. You will allow him to suffer. You allow him to wait years more. But you are with him, Lord. You are with him every moment, and you are working in him. And Father, it's what we want to see in our own life. We want to realize that what we need is not less suffering, but a closer relationship with you. We want you to please strengthen our faith in you. Give us joy to worship you even in hard times. Father, may we see how great that you are and that our afflictions are light and momentary. And give us strength to serve. Give us strength to be a blessing to someone else, not always complaining, but asking what we can do for others, asking what their needs are, showing love. Give us strength to share the gospel, to tell our own testimony of how we were sinners, but you showed us that we could be forgiven through Christ. Let us give our own testimony and give us those opportunities, I pray. Help us to serve you faithfully even as we wait for some situation to improve or some heart to change. Let us focus on you and what you do and how you bless. It will not be us, but it will all be because of you. In Jesus' name, amen.